Friends, welcome. Today we have a familiar face, Joanne. So she owns or manages, I don't know exactly the title, the Rosa Mystica Shrine, which is an amazing retreat center that I've been at and will be at also in the future in July. But she has an amazing story to share with us today, something that I believe happened at a mass. But without further ado, Joanne, tell us what happened and explain how it got there.
It was just incredible. We were having a generational healing weekend. And at the last mass, something happened with the priest that just blew you away. And for me, it changed me forever. But more importantly, the priest was never the same after that, too. And he realized the power of what generational healing does and what prayers for souls do. So really kind of to understand the story, though, I don't know how much background anybody has on generational healing.
Yeah, please share with us, because sometimes some people may be familiar and others, maybe it's the first time they're hearing it.
So it's kind of in Catholicism, the sins of the ancestors and also the blessings go back generation to generation. So often the blessings just come, but the sins is something that we have to deal with. And one way I kind of like to explain it, so because it gets a little heavy with the spiritual, but we're like a three-legged stool. So we're spiritual, we're psychological, and we're physical. So something psychological that goes to generation is, like, I have a relative that she was attacked as a child by a cat. So mm-hmm. She was traumatized, hate cats her whole life. That makes sense, right? You're attacked. But then her three daughters also feared cats, and then their daughters. And then it just continues. So that's something in the physical realm. And then, that's something in the emotional realm. Yeah. And then in the physical, we all know that, like diabetes, heart disease, even depression and other things, they go from generation to generation. But on the spiritual realm, it's the same exact concept, but you just have to understand that the sins of the forefathers that were not fully worked out in their life can go on to us. And sometimes that manifests itself in big ways and sometimes in small, very subtle ways. But being blessed that we're Catholics, we have the sacraments, we have prayer, we have the Eucharist, and we have confessions in order to mitigate those sins and a lot of times get rid of them. I know a priest told me once, when I go to confession, I'll finish my confession and say, and then I confess all the sins of my ancestors. And I have adopted children. So then I'll go further and say, and all the sins of my children's ancestors and put them under there. And I think we've all heard like a lot of exorcist priests where they tell stories. Like I know Father Carlos had one on his podcast, how it was a generational curse. And the man was suicidal, but he didn't know where it was coming from. And luckily for him, he went to an exorcist and they uncovered it. And a lot of times it's small things, but they go from generation to generation. So if you look back in your history, too, you'll see that maybe, alcoholism or divorce or a father always is leaving, the wife and the children and then the next generation. So it's really important to know that this is not something that we should take lightly. And what we do at Rosa Mystica is usually once a year, we'll have a generational healing weekend where we go through what generational healing is, because it's there's a lot to it and it's above my pay grade. I don't want to say the wrong thing. There's so many more people that know so much more, and they come to Rosa Mystica and they explain what it is. And then what we do is we use the sacraments and try to work through getting rid of generational curses and generational healing. So this particular time, we did a generational healing with a priest that had been to Rosa Mystica many times. He was very well known for generational healing. That was his charisma. And at the end of the weekend, too, we were doing the final mass, and we were in the Adoration Chapel. So what the Adoration Chapel is isn't the main chapel at Rosa Mystica. It's the side chapel. And what's really important about that is that when you're sitting in the chapel, the whole front of the chapel is windows, and then there's a gigantic crucifix in the middle. And then underneath the where that's on the main floor, the floor underneath is the reliquarium, where we have over 100 verified relics. And I always kind of think that when we do things like this, that it's fermenting, and we got all those saints joining in together with us and praying.
Yeah, I've been there, and it's amazing to have them. You'll have them like in these cabinets labeled with the names. It's beautiful that the saints, usually we imagine them above us, but in this case, they're underneath us, supporting us like our pillars, praying for you. And it's incredible to have that, the power of their prayer literally at your feet, praying for healing and for all these types of things.
Yes, where do you get that to happen? I mean, it's so amazing. So this he was an older priest. I don't like to say ages because I'm probably wrong, get myself in trouble, but maybe late 70s, early 80s. But he's been doing this his whole life. So it's during the mass, and he's standing by the window, and he keeps looking like this, and he's looking behind, and then he's acting strange. And so I'm thinking, oh, I hope he's okay. You know, like I thought, is he getting sick? Or is everything all right? And he just, you know, he's doing all the generational healing, and he's praying for all the pilgrims there, for all their ancestors, and we're doing everything. He's just acting strange. So that night we all got together for dinner, and I said, I finally got him alone, and I'm like, Father, are you okay? And he's like, I think so. I go, because I was really worried about you today at Mass. I don't know why you kept looking outside and what was going on. He said, while we were doing the prayers, he was watching the souls through the window going up to heaven. So the ancestors of the people that were there, I got goosebumps saying this again, he was watching them. So I said, Father, I go, that's incredible. I go, do you see that all the time? And he's like, no. He goes, wow. I've never seen that in my whole life. He goes, I had to do everything possible to stand there. He goes, I thought I was going to fall over.
It's like he was going to be slain in the spirit or something. That's incredible.
So, and like, he felt like it was so funny talking to him, because I thought, you know, being in ministry work, you always meet people that with incredible experiences and things happen. So I thought this was, oh, that's really great. You see that all the time. And he was like, absolutely not. And he felt like, for all his work, and he retired shortly after that too. Wow. Not because of that, because I feel like God gave him the grace. You know, the grace was for him to show him all the work that you've been doing is paying off. These souls are getting released. These curses are getting released. There's generational healing go. And the pilgrims that were there, you come all the way there, you're doing all this too, and for their efforts also, like that, you know, that there's really, it's real. And so it was such a blessing for him. And then for me too, I mean, telling the story, and I couldn't believe I said, why didn't you tell everybody when you were standing there? He goes, I couldn't even process everything that was going on.
I'm sure it's like one of those where you're truly in awe, like where your mouth is open and you just can't say anything.
Right. So,
Was he able to share that with the people there? What were some of the fruits in that retreat? Was it an unusually fruitful retreat, or anything that you remember from that?
I think that generational healing is always fruitful, and from my experience, but not always sudden. Like there's sudden healings all the time. Generational healing is, this is just my opinion. A lot of times it's something that there's a shift and there's a cleaning. And then it's like, it's almost like you go to confession and you confess your sins and we're released of our sins. But if we did something wrong, there's still repercussions that are still out there and they're sitting there. So ancestral healing, it's the opposite in a good way. We did something right. We prayed for our ancestors. We got these sins released, and we're breaking the chain. And what's most important for us as parents, too, is breaking the chain. You know, maybe some of us are older, and we've done something repeatedly in a behavior of our life. But we don't, you know, the last thing we want to do is give this to our children or to continue doing these things and making everybody around us miserable.
I like how you talk about it as a shift, that it's like a subtle change. And then the person has to then pay attention to see, for instance, what are ways that I'm maybe being less tempted in this area, or what are kind of gradual shifts that I'm seeing, like a stronger pull towards holiness in this area, you know, because those are probably the things that you would notice, or maybe even changes in the behavior of your children because of praying for your ancestors that you see,
right?
That we have to pay attention to see those gradual shifts, you know, towards holiness.
Right. Like, or let's say, like, generationally, anger has been handed down in my family.
Yeah.
Right. So I leave there, I feel like fine. And then all of a sudden a situation arises where I'm going to lose it, you know, and you don't. And then after, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I behaved. Like, yay. Yeah. You know, so you're like, that's when you see it. That's when you see it. Like, you, sometimes it's after where you realize that you're different. And when you get in that situation where you, you know, you are different, then you see it.
Yeah. It's because the thing that's unfortunate, that we simply don't always know all the different forces that are acting on us, you know, whether it's like some sort of demonic force, like we don't know kind of how we're being tempted, that they're almost like handicaps that make it more difficult than it should be to be virtuous, to be patient, to be chaste or loving or generous or without fear or anxiety or things like that. But then I've always loved this idea. In fact, you know, through the channel, we did a 40-day I called it like a generational reparation kind of prayer series, where we started some days into Lent. We were praying for all of the different ancestors, and we would pray the nightly rosary that we do, but then we would also pray these generational healing prayers from Father Ripperger. And a number of different people reported, first of all, lots of spiritual attacks during, as if the devil was like, I don't want this to happen. And then a number of different, you know, inner healings, but just really interesting seeing the work of that kind of go through and the fruit of it.
Yeah, the devil doesn't like it because he's been getting away with it for generations.
Yeah. You know? When was the first time that you all had this type of retreat? Do you remember?
I think we started in 2018.
Okay. So not that long ago.
Yeah, not that long ago. And I think somebody suggested, because they had struggled with something and they had a lot of history with it, and they told us about it, and they told us about this a particular priest. And, you know, so it's not something like everyone even understands. And it's not that we want to be afraid of this, but one of the popes that said this quote was, the devil's biggest lie is that he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So we have to be aware that these exist, and we have to be aware that they affect us and affect our generations. I mean, you know, we don't want to do that we don't want to do something that we picked up that went from generation to generation to our children. And it's, you know, so the healing of that is so potent and so powerful, but more subtle.
Yeah.
And if you look, if people make family trees and they look, they'll see patterns normally.
Yeah. You know, I notice it all the time with my children. If you observe, you see it. But it's like the questions that you have to be asking yourself, like, for instance, asking yourself, what do I tend to be tempted towards? What are they tempted towards? You know, and you know that some of it is, they see a behavior. So it's like some of it is psychological, but some of it is like, this is unusual. It's like, you can see that it's the same force that acts on me, like maybe like this spirit of whatever, you know, it acts on you. You could see it kind of because of that, that it hasn't been conquered. It acts on them, and you could see that pattern if you just look, you know, and if you observe it, it could be almost frightening. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, that there's something else here. And so, you know, to pray. And so, for instance, sometimes like I'll kind of then ask questions with my children, and they'll make these comments that are particular, like they'll say, like, it's just very hard for me to not do that, which is telling me, okay, there's something acting on them that's creating unnecessary difficulty. Whereas maybe we're like in a different family where that has been conquered and delivered, the children are like, oh yeah, it's really easy for me to do X, Y, Z. I don't struggle with that. And I know that it's, okay, it's not just temperament. There's something else there.
There's something else. Like there's kind of an analogy that I read once that I really liked. It was like, let's say we're walking down a corridor and there's all these doors. And we open the door and that door is alcohol, or the next door is drugs, or the next, you know, door is lying, you know, and there's all these doors, let's say, and they're all contained sin. And we can walk in, walk out. Oh, that's not for me. You know, like kind of, you can, some people can say, okay, they drank for a month and then they're like, okay, I don't like it. I'm done. Where other people, you know, they go one night and then they're not done. So we don't know what door we're going to get trapped in when we're not going to walk back out. And generational healing helps us get rid of the sin that traps us inside those doors. And if you look, you know, you'll see it, but it's very evident. It's very evident. And also there's not to be scary with being Catholic. We have the sacraments. The Lord is always gives us a way. And the Lord is always, I think with generational healing, it's the Lord's mercy.
Yeah.
You know, he's giving us mercy.
Yeah. It can sometimes be hard for people to see it. I'm thinking right now of my friends in Ireland, that the ones that have lived there and have been there a long time. Since we move around a lot, we don't see our generations or kind of are close to the story. Yeah. So some people are like, oh, I barely knew my grandfather. But there, for instance, since they know their history and it's kind of more stuck in there for people like them, and maybe for people in other countries, they're able to get the concept really quickly to think like, yeah, you know, we struggle with a spirit of alcoholism that we need to conquer, you know, because they see it and it's almost like physically manifested there. So some people may kind of get this more easily, but it isn't something to be afraid. I'll tell people, look, it's right there by you all the time anyway. So don't be afraid. Like, you know, we're facing it all the time, usually in subtle ways. So don't be afraid to face it, because Jesus's grace and the sacraments, it helps us, one, find out what's there, and then how to pray for that thing to leave or to be conquered, or for you to be delivered of.
Right. And if it's a heavy sin, it ruins your life.
Yeah.
And for no reason, you don't understand why it's out of your control. So most of us are lighter, but sometimes, I mean, it's something really bad that you need to get rid of, you know, and that's where, like, the exorcist priests give the other example of the generational, you know, where this stuff manifests itself. And they find sometimes that's the hardest thing for them to uncover, because it's generational.
Yeah.
So they have to go through spirit to spirit to spirit to figure out, okay, where did this come from?
Yeah. So one of the things that'll be happening, I don't know if you've had any other this year, but coming in July, you know, we're actually going to be doing, this is basically going to be the bulk of the theme, you know, the last weekend of July, I'll be there. And then Patrick, and then y'all were looking for like a priest to kind of help out. When you mentioned his name, I don't know if you can say his name. I'd actually heard of him like maybe 10 years ago. And that he specifically, like the context was, this friend of mine was saying, man, this guy has like this incredible gift of discernment.
Right, right.
And I had a chance to talk to him on the phone once, but when you said his name, I was like, how'd you get that? And I was super excited about it.
Yeah. No, it's you know what? It's really important that we go through the theme and we understand it, and then we have the priest that presents the sacraments. And what's great about Patrick and Joy is, you know, that they can pray with people for discernment.
Yeah.
So, like, I know, like, I like personally, like, I've prayed with them before, and they're like, well, you know, they're trying to get me to a place, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, come on, you got to know. I go, nope, don't know. So I love praying with people that are gifted. They're going to say, well, could it possibly be, you know? So that's why I like the combination too. Like, you're having the background, you know, with the Holy Souls and everything else, because the generational healing, Holy Souls, and we want to help release. Part of generational healing is getting those souls out of purgatory.
Yeah.
So, and then too, we want to, and then where Patrick and Joy come in too, is prophetically to help us uncover. You know, I know, like, I'm doing the rosary, you know, I'm on the sorrowful, like, you know, and I'm sorry for my sins, and I'm especially sorry for the ones I don't know. Because if I know I'm sinning with something, I'm going to work on it. But if I don't know, you know, and worse yet, if everyone else knows and nobody's told me, oh, we know, Joanne, but like we want to know. So with ancestral, like, too, we want to kind of track that. So that's why I like to have, like, Patrick and Joy there too, for the prophetic aspect of uncovering that too.
They I made a video once about, I had an experience when I was in Ireland, they happened to be there as well, where they prayed over me, and they have an incredible gift of prophecy, that the Lord will give them, like, either words or a scripture or an image that, I mean, it was just amazing. It was all these things, some talking about things going on in my life at the time that were, and they didn't even know me. I don't think they knew much about me at all. So for instance, one of the images was like, I remember he said it, he was like, I'm getting this image of hands coming out of the ground and gravestones, but is this demonic? What does this mean to you? And I said, well, it's my YouTube channel. We talk about the souls in purgatory. And he was like, oh gosh, thank goodness that it means something to you. Cause I saw that and thought, this is from the devil. This isn't from God. But it
he was probably afraid to say it, right?
He was afraid to say it. And then other things that were, you could tell, were things kind of talking about what God wants me to do in the future. And they all resonated with my heart. Cause when I heard them, I thought, that's what I want to do too.
Right.
You know, that's my desire. It wasn't just an abstract kind of prediction. It's like he was showing me, like, what you, God wants for you in your future. It's already in your heart, but now we're naming it. So it was incredible to hear that.
And also too, like, you don't want to, like, when people come to Rosa Mystica, it's a, you know, it's a very holy place. The Blessed Mother had picked the place, you know, giving a seer the coordinates. It's in the middle of nowhere.
That's an incredible story.
Yeah. it's in the middle of nowhere. So when people come there, the Blessed Mother doesn't want them to leave the same. Yeah. Like, we don't want to say, oh, it's generational healing. Yeah, you know, no. We want to take your talents. We want to take Patrick and Joyce. We want to take the priest. We want to take the church. We want to have the holy property to be doing on this with the Blessed Mother picked, and combine all that, you know. So we don't want people to leave the same, you know, and that's God's doing. And God calls who's supposed to be there, because God's so merciful. It's their time to be healed.
Yeah.
Like, it's your time, sister, brother. Okay. Yeah. Like, go up there and you do the work. And we're willing to do the work. I don't think, so I was saying before about the sin, I'm always willing to do the work. I just need to know what to do.
Yeah, I'm incredibly excited about it. I think it's going to be an incredibly fruitful week, and hopefully kind of it in the same way that others have been. I'll put here on the screen the link to the Shrine's website so people can register. And it'll be wonderful. It'll be typical, like a Friday through Sunday. Anything else that you want to share about it?
No, I just think that if God, you know, if God's calling you in your heart, it's, you know, it's something that we all need to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a blessing for anybody that's going to be there. And we can't wait to see you also. I mean, your second time there, and the first time was phenomenal. And you and Patrick are probably some of the best speakers. And I hear a lot of speakers that I've heard. I mean, you really, what you say resonates with me. So I'm excited about the whole weekend.
Us as well. It's so beautiful there. It's like, you're just surrounded by mountains, the physical beauty. I love that it's kind of like Amish country because you feel kind of disconnected from technology. There's a car that Padre Pio was in, you know, that you can pray in. I mean, there's just all these little things that as you get to know just what the weekend's about, but even just the place itself, you realize, wow, there's something really holy going on here.
And for those that don't know the story, I'll make it really short, not to get off topic, but the Blessed Mother appeared to a nun in Italy, and she was coming as Our Lady of Rosa Mystica, so the shrines are Rosa Mystica. And one of those apparitions, the Blessed Mother gave all these numbers. They were like, okay, nobody could figure out what it was, and it was latitude and longitude from Italy to upstate New York in the middle of Baptist country, in the middle of nowhere. And then what was incredible, the name of the road that it was on top of a hill was Angel Hill Road, not because of angels, because Mr. Angel lived there and he named the road after himself. But it's like, but God, there's no accidents. There's, you know, and it's just holy land. It's something really, it's not a conference center. It's a holy place that the Blessed Mother picked. So you get there, and I know, like Steve McDonald said, it's Medjugorje of United States. You get there. I remember when I got to Medjugorje, I was like looking around like, what? But then, it, you know, in 10 minutes, I felt it. I'm like, oh, wow, what? There's something going on here. And then Rosa Mystica has that same effect. And Our Lady picked it for a reason. And I think that one of the reasons is America's in trouble now. We're all in trouble, you know, and we need healing. And she's our mother. And she wants us to come there, be loved, be healed, you know, and then bring that healing back, not just generationally wise, but into your congregation, into your families, you know, and supporting your priests. And so, you know, it's always a wonderful experience for me.
I'm incredibly... It really was. It was when we did it. I was there back kind of at the end of October, and I think it'll be incredible this summer. So, Joanne, why don't we entrust us with a prayer to Our Lady Rosa Mystica? Would you mind leading us with a prayer?
Yes, sure. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lady Rosa Mystica, you love your children, but you especially love the religious, the priests, the nuns. And we're asking everyone listening today to say an extra prayer for your priests to support them. You want us as lay people to be the army of Christ to support our church and to bring Christ's kingdom here on earth. So we're asking you, Our Lady Rosa Mystica, to intercede for ourselves, for our families, for anyone that is supposed to be there, that they can get there and they can make the way, that if you can help them with that. And we thank you for everything that you do for us and for being our mother and for loving us. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, all the information to check out Rosa Mystica or to sign up for the retreat will be here on the screen and down below in the description. Support the channel, subscribe, a like, and I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you.